Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast from the First Christian Church in Great Bend, Kansas. We are a church with a mission of inspiring ordinary people to live extraordinary lives for Christ. It really doesn't matter who you are, what you have done, or how you choose to worship. You belong here. We pray that this week's sermon blesses you and that you feel God's presence through it today.
So today we are in week two of our sermon series called God's Managers, where what we're doing is getting into how stewardship is not just about giving our time, talent, and wealth to the church, but it's actually something we're called to live out in every area of our lives. And so last week, in an attempt to help all of you to see just how big and important stewardship really is, we got into how in the beginning, as God went about creating human beings in his image and likeness, part of what God was doing was creating these beings a little bit differently from for the purpose of helping him to rule and manage his good world. Or in other words, basically what we learned is God created all of us for the purpose of being his managers. But now that you're starting to see all of that, what I want to do today to continue to build upon that foundation is to take us even deeper into all of that by exploring the strange yet I think very profound parable of the talents for what it has to teach us about being God's manager. So, in answering the question, what is the kingdom of God like? Jesus in Matthew 25:14 begins by saying this: "For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them." The picture we're given here is of a wealthy man who decides to take a trip for whatever reason, we don't know, and to make sure that all of his property, all of his stuff is taken care of in his absence, he puts his most trusted slaves involved. And why that matters for us is because what's going on here is very similar to what we learned last week, right? In that God, just like with the owner of his slaves, has basically done the same thing for us by making us his managers and stewards. The parable continues. "To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his ability, and then he went away." Now, for many people, when they encounter this parable, the way they usually read it is by thinking that the word talent here is a reference to the abilities that people have, like it's a gift or a talent. But what you've got to understand to interpret this parable well is that talent here is not referring to people's abilities at all, but instead is referring to a large sum of money. Or a talent is something that actually equals an average worker, what an average worker makes in the ancient world in 20 years. So it's 20 years worth of a salary. That's how much a talent is. Or to get a sense of just how much money this is, let me show you how much these amounts would be today, doing a whole lot of generalizing, because we can't know this for sure, right? This is a generalization here. So in our world today, an average amount that a laborer makes is in the neighborhood of about $20 an hour. So if you do the calculations for how much money that would equal in a year with 40 hours a week, 52 weeks out of the year, the number adds up to a yearly salary of around $41,600. And yet, remember, a talent equals 20 years, not just one. So that means just one talent is going to equal somewhere in the neighborhood of $823,000. It changes the parable completely when you see it in the ancient context, right? And yet, not only did this wealthy man give out 1 talent, but then according to their abilities, he gave another 2 talents, which equals about $1.6 million, and another a whopping 5 talents, which equals about $4.2 million. So the amount of wealth that this owner has just handed over to these 3 slaves is something like $6.6 million. Yeah, can you imagine the people listening to this in the ancient world who are basically living at a subsistence level, hearing this and going, "What on earth is this guy talking about? Those are huge sums of money." And yet, what I think these huge sums of money reveal to us as God's modern day stewards and managers is just how much God has given to each and every one of us to manage in our place in the world. Or if you take the biblical view that everything that exists ultimately belongs to God, then that means everything that you have and all that you are really doesn't belong to you, even though that's the way you think about it, but has been given to you as a kind of gift for you to manage and oversee during your lifetime. And the reason the Bible teaches us that we are managers and not owners is because everything that we are able to do, all that we are able to become, and even everything that we have is not just something we were able to do by ourselves with no help, which is the way we like to think as Americans, but it's something we are able to do because of all that God has just given to us. To see this, take a moment and think about how much of your body and all the gifts and talents that go along with your body did you have anything to do with? Think about your hand, right? Simple hand. We take it for granted every single day. It gives you the ability to reach and grab and manipulate almost anything, which in turn you use to make money, to raise your children, and just live your life. How much of your hand did you have anything to do with? And then, you know, that 3-pound blob of flesh up here in our heads, you know, between our ears. That thing that gives us the ability to even comprehend anything, that makes us conscious, that allows us to do anything. How much of that did you have anything to do with? And then beyond even that, how much of this world, this universe, everything that exists, that you depend on to exist, did you have anything to do with? Yeah, truth is, we really didn't have much to do with any of that, which makes it very clear that everything that we have and all that we are has been given to us by God as an amazing gift, which in turn we are able to use to help manage and oversee our part of the world. Or that, my friends, is just how much God has given to us as his managers and stewards. It's more than $2.4 million. It's everything that we have and all that we are has been given to us by God as a gift. Parable continues. At once, the one who received the 5 talents went off and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Now, what I find so interesting about this part of the parable is you would think that the owner, what the owner requires of his stewards is that when he came back, he would get exactly what he gave them, right? That's what it means to be a good steward. Let's say I give you $1 million. If I get $1 million back, that means you've done a pretty good job. Well, by the way, that's exactly what the third slave did by burying his talent, making sure that when his master returned, he could give back to him what he got, doing his job. That's what it means to be a steward, at least in one sense. And yet what we find the other 2 slaves doing with their portion of the wealth is they actually risk all of that money to try to make their master even more money, which they're very successful at, ultimately doubling the amount that they were given so that when their master comes home, he will now have $12.4 million. But on the flip side of that, a question that always has come to my mind when wrestling and reading this particular parable is, what if they failed when they took that risk? Or what if they lost some or all of their owner's money when they were out there trading and doing what you do? Because it is a risk. How would their master have responded then? And doesn't that mean that in a sense that the guy who buried the money is actually the most responsible? Because in a sense, his method guaranteed the owner would get his money back. No risk at all. And yet this is what happens when the master returns. After a long time, the master of the slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one who had 2 talents also came forward, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made you 2 more talents. His master said, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Or when the master returns to settle his accounts, of course this guy's going to be over the moon at what his risk-taking servants were able to do by doubling what they had received. In fact, this master is so impressed, he's like, "Hey, I'm going to give you guys even more. You've shown me that you deserve to handle even more," which, by the way, is a great move. If I could give you half of my money right now, and you guys guaranteed me that I was going to get double that, you know, in the next couple of years, I will write you a check right now. Right? So why wouldn't he trust his slaves even more? And yet, even though that happened, you would think for the servant who took all the risk out of it by burying his money, that the master would be okay with the fact that he got all of his money back. Because in a sense, that's what it means to be a good steward. Or if I gave you $10,000 to keep track of and I came back, you know, 3-4 months later and you gave me back that $10,000, that seems pretty fair, right? I don't care if you buried it in the ground. And yet, then the one who had received the one talent also came forward saying, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter. So I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours. But his master replied, you wicked and lazy slave. You knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to all who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. Which, when you think about it, is a response that is a little strange. In that even though the servant did what his master required, he gave his money back, because the servant didn't make his master even more money, this poor guy not only loses out on what he had, but he ends up getting punished for it. Or strangely, at the end of this parable, the man who did his job by stewarding his master's wealth ended up being punished because he didn't do enough. Right? How many of you right now, you're like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Well, what I want you guys to notice about every single one of Jesus' parables, this is a part of it. There's always a twist. There's always something strange that is going on in Jesus' parables. And so if you don't feel a little confused or a little weirded out by Jesus' parables, then you're missing the point. Because they all do that in one way or another if you read them in the ancient context. And yet, it is the craziness, it is the twist that is in all the parables where you're going to find the point that Jesus is trying to make. So, what this puts into perspective, at least according to my humble opinion, is what Jesus is doing in this parable. Is not only is he telling us that we are his stewards, or we are the people who he has put in charge to watch over and manage his stuff, but it also reveals to us that what God ultimately requires of all of us as his managers is for all of us to take everything that he has given to us, remember, which is everything that we have and all that we are, and not just sit on it so when he comes back we can just give it back to him. But instead it's to take it, go out into the world and use it to further his kingdom, to do good things in this world. Which, by the way, is another important thing that you've got to learn about the nature of stewardship. Contrary to the way we normally think about our lives and all of our stuff, we think about it as our own. God didn't give us all of that, so in turn, we could just use it on ourselves. No, God has blessed us, not just to bless us, but to be a blessing, right? To use everything that he has for the sake of his kingdom. And all because, according to this parable, that's what it means. That's what it looks like to be a good steward. That's how we play our part in the work that God has given all of us to do as his managers. And yet now that you guys are starting to see what it means to be God's managers, what it means to be good stewards, the question now becomes, what kind of steward are you? What kind of steward are you? Or are you the kind of steward, manager, who has taken everything that God has given to you, your life, your wealth, your abilities, your time, all that, and are using that to do the work of furthering God's kingdom? You know, like the slaves who took the risk and made their master even more money? Or are you the kind of steward, like the one who received just one talent, who has taken everything that God has given to you and just, you're sitting on it. You're making excuses. Or even worse than that, you're only using what God has given to you for yourself. Well, it's my hope that now that you're starting to understand how stewardship is our purpose or something that we've all been called and created to do, that when you go back out into your life, you begin using everything that God has given to you, all that you are, not just on yourself, but to really make a difference for God's kingdom. And all because not only does this allow us to play a big part in helping cause God's kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, or to really make a difference in this world, but what you're also going to find is when you give yourself to doing that and doing that well, to being good stewards, what does God do for us in return? Did you notice? What did he do for the two slaves who were willing to risk for the sake of God? You get more to be responsible for, right? Or to kind of bring this into focus for you guys. When I started out as a youth minister, I was in seminary. I was broke. I didn't have any money. My first youth ministry position in Alva, Oklahoma, I made a whopping $12,000 a year, people. I ate hot dogs and SpaghettiOs for about 2 years, right? But as I gave myself to this work, as I gave myself to going to seminary, over and over again, God gave me more and more and more as I would continue to give myself to doing more for him. Or the scripture that really helps me to put all this together, and I'm hopefully you guys have this memorized by now, is seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And what I think Jesus is saying here is if we give ourselves to taking all that God has given to us to make a difference in the world as his hands and feet, then what God promises each and every one of us is that he will take care of us. And my experience has been God has more than taken care of me and my family for doing this, and I'm sure it's the same for you. But what I don't want you to get out of all of this is not a prosperity gospel kind of thing. I'm not saying that if you give $10,000, then God's going to turn around and give you $100,000. That's not how it works, no matter what those preachers on the TV say. It just doesn't. Because I need a whole lot more money if that's the case. Right? And I think we all do, because I think there's a lot of generosity in this room. But that's not what it's all about. It's not necessarily about you. God's going to take care of you if you take care of his stuff, if you take care of his people, if you give yourself to being the hands and feet of Christ in this world. Come on now. Isn't that amazing? So everybody, when we talk stewardship, everybody gets a little nervous, like, oh my God, he's asking for more money. That's all he wants is more money. No, I'm doing this because if you will give yourself to this, you will find that it seems to be true. God will take care of you if you give yourself to serving God. Let us pray. Father, this again is one of those topics that makes us all uncomfortable and makes us kind of feel guilty and all that stuff. Lord, throw all of that stuff away. Help us to see that the reason you created us, the reason we get to live these incredible lives, our purpose in life, is to be your stewards, to be your managers. And when we give ourselves to doing that with everything that we are, with all that we have, then what you do is you bless us even more. And then even more than that, Lord, you provide what we need if we give ourselves to your needs and the needs of this world. So help us, oh Lord, take this seriously. Help us to be the kind of people who really do give ourselves to being your managers and our place in the world. Lord, we pray this all in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon, and we hope you are able to join us next week. To learn more about FCC Great Bend, visit us online at firstchristianchurchgb.com. Again, that's firstchristianchurchgb.com. God bless and have a great week.